Are you a person who likes change or a person who does not like change? It's very interesting when you have a conversation with folks like that, that there are a lot of people who just do not like change. And most of those will admit that. They'll sit back and say, no, I'm a creature of habit. I like things to be exactly the way they are. But the problem with that is that we live in a changing world. And each generation witnesses changes that would astound their ancestors. I can even think back to times in my life, back when I was going through high school, and never thought that I would see some of the things that I see right now. I can still remember watching Dick Tracy cartoons, and if you all remember that, if you're old enough to remember that, you can remember Dick Tracy talking into his watch. Well, as much as we thought that was funny, and at times that we would laugh about that, today it's a reality with the Apple Watch. There are so many things that are changing. Scientific and technological breakthroughs have changed our lifestyles. From back when we were younger, and even weather patterns common locations have changed as well. There are natural disasters. Everything is changing, but there's something that we want to look at today in regard to God's Word, and that is simply the fact that there are some things that remain the same. So today we want to talk about three constants in an age of change. We're going to be looking at passages out of Isaiah chapter 59. So grab your Bible, turn to Isaiah 59, and I'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible Study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I am so glad that you have chosen to join us for tonight's Bible study. I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages out of Isaiah chapter 59. And we're actually going to kind of look at two particular verses, and those are the first two. So Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, and they read as follows. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you, we just ask that you would speak to our heart. Lord, we realize that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We pray, Father, that your word would permeate our hearts today, that you might draw us close to you. Father, as always, we pray that if there's one that doesn't know you, that through your word and through the gospel message, you would draw them unto salvation. Lord, give them the courage to just give their life over to you, that they might truly have eternal life through Christ our Lord. Lord, I pray that as we endeavor this look at your word, that you would empower me as your messenger, that you and you alone would be the words that are heard that would come from today's study. Lord, speak to your people as only you can, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I mentioned that there are in a world that's changing, so many things that are changing. I thought about particularly how things changed during the pandemic that we went through 4 years ago. It's hard to believe it's been 4 years ago, but how there were places that were shut down. We saw how, you know, we couldn't go out. There were places that we couldn't go, things that we couldn't do. But then when even things started to come around where they were opening back up, it was they were saying things like, well, we don't take cash. All we're taking is debit cards and credit cards. And there are some ways that each and every one of us have been caught up in that change, whether we actually wanted to be caught up in it or not. So things are going to be constantly changing around you. That is a given fact. But today we want to talk in God's Word about three things that are constant, three things that remain the same. Let me go ahead and give you what those three are, and then we'll expand on them a little bit. But the first thing is that God's power to save remains the same. That has not changed throughout the centuries. God's power to save mankind is still the same as it was in the very beginning. And number two, God's ability to hear and answer prayer remains the same. God hears you when you cry out to him. God hears you when you talk to him. Now, there are a few things we need to understand, particularly from God's word today, but we'll discover those in just a moment. And then finally, the third thing we want to discuss is the destructiveness of sin is also something that remains the same. okay? Sin is destructive. So let's take a few moments and explore these unchanging truths, all right? Number one that we talked about was that God's power to save remains the same. I love what the scripture says. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Now, this statement, this is a statement that has remained true throughout all of the ages, regardless of all the things that are changing around us, the things that are changing in our midst, the things that you have seen even over the decades of your life that have changed. The one thing that is constant is that the Lord's hand has not been shortened, and that means that doesn't mean that it has become complicated or technical to be able to save mankind. The Lord's hand has not been shortened. This is a statement that will remain true forever. As long as the sun shines, as long as the rivers run, as long as hearts beat, this statement will always, always be true. Now, another thing we want to look at is that God is able to save us from physical danger. I think about it in the Bible as Moses led the people out of Egypt, and they got there to where their back was against the Red Sea. And it said that the Lord had been leading them on their journey, essentially by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire by night. And then when he got to the point that it seemed hopeless, their backs were against the Red Sea. It seemed like they had no place to go, and Pharaoh's army was pressing down on them, and it seemed like the end was inevitable. And then, as all of us know, God opened the Red Sea to be able to save Israel from Pharaoh's army. He shows up when we need him. He shows up in a nick of time. And if you'll notice, he always shows up in a way that's something contrary to what we're thinking as far as the way he's going to show up. I mean, I'm sure that Moses didn't sit back and say, okay, listen, everybody, don't worry. God's going to part the Red Sea, and we're going to go through on dry ground. I'm sure that was not what Moses was thinking. In fact, most of the people with him were thinking that it was time for them to die, that they weren't going to be going any further. Don't ever think that you can outthink God, or don't ever think that you've got him figured out, because when you do, he will show up in a way that is completely opposite of what you think in regard to the way that he's going to show up. Now, not only do I think about the Red Sea and how God showed up there, I also think about how he delivered Daniel from death in the lion's den. I can almost picture what that must have been like, that Daniel's roaming around in this lion's den, and these lions are either laying around or just, you know, kind of looking at him, but made no effort whatsoever to go out and devour him. And it was God who shut the mouths of the lions while he was in the lion's den. So those are things we need to keep in mind and things that we need to remember in our lives as we serve the Lord and as we go through on a daily basis. And then we see that God is able to save the soul from death, plain and simple. He saved religious Nicodemus from death and from legalism. And you can find that in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5 and some verses following as well. So the Lord saved Nicodemus. He also saved the thief on the cross, and he guaranteed him that he would be with him that particular day in paradise. That passage is found in Luke 23, verses 39 through 43. But you will remember what Jesus said to him. He said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. So God is not short on being able to save mankind, and he shows up in some incredible ways. So as we think about that, that's one thing that we can take as something that never changes in regard to who our Lord is. And what's another thing, another constant that you can count on, that you can take to the bank every day in your life? What is the second thing? The second thing is that God's ability to hear and answer prayer remains the same. I love what our scripture tells us in the verses that are our text, which is actually Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. But it says, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. I love that. I mean, God doesn't get tired of hearing from his children. He loves to be able to hear from you. God hears the prayers of his people, and he heard the prayers of his people while they were slaves in Egypt. We mentioned that passage just a moment ago, but it's Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. But he heard the cries of the people when they cried out to him. I love it. That was when God called Moses to the front and said, hey, you're going to actually go and be the one that's going to deliver the people. By my hand, you will deliver the people. But God was hearing the prayers of his children, Israel, as they cried out to him when they were enslaved in Egypt. So think about that for a moment. God not only heard, he was ready to act upon what he heard from the people. And he called Moses to be that deliverer, to tell them that not only was he going to deliver them, that he had heard their prayers. And then along the way, he also promised to bring them into a good land. In fact, he described that land as the land that is flowing with milk and honey. So basically God says, I hear you, help is on the way, and not only am I going to deliver you from slavery, I'm going to send you to a place that's like nothing you've ever seen before. I've got great things planned and great things in store for you. And folks, God's message to you and I has not changed. It is the same as what he gave Israel. He still hears our prayers. He is still going to show up on time, and he still has something better planned for us. Maybe that land that flows with milk and honey is exactly what he has planned for you. If you will just be patient with him, if you will just be obedient to him, if you will trust him, and if you will follow him. You see, God has given great promises of answered prayers throughout the Bible. Just to name a few, think about how he invited Jeremiah to pray big and to expect big answers. Man, if I were you, I would mark this passage down as Jeremiah 33:3. God still wants us to do that. He still wants us to pray big prayers, not just simple little things. Now, don't get me wrong. God wants to hear the simple little prayers, but I'm talking about the things that you pray that when you pray them, they're not going to happen unless God shows up. I mean, you know, when you pray prayers like Jeremiah was being invited to pray, you know, there's no possible way that it can happen through man. God has to be the one to answer those prayers. He has to be the one to move forward and to function with those things if they're ever going to come to fruition. And he calls us not only to pray those big prayers, but he calls on us to have great expectations for answers to those prayers. Now, I want you for just a moment to think about your prayer life. And when you think about that, are you praying big prayers? Number one, that's the first thing I want you to think about. Are you asking God to do big things that you or mankind in and of himself cannot do? That's what he's wanting you to do. But then as you pray those prayers, do you have the expectation that God's going to show up and do some great and incredible things through those prayers? Do you pray with excitement? Do you pray those prayers with anticipation as to what it is that the Lord is going to do? I hope and pray that you can answer that question by saying yes. But I know a lot of us will sit back and we say, you know what, my faith's a little bit weak when it comes down to that. You know, it's kind of like that prayer, Lord, I believe, help me with mine unbelief. I pray that God's going to strengthen your faith to the point where you can pray those gigantic big prayers and that you can do so with great expectation that God's going to do those incredible things. And then that you can just sit back and say, Lord, I'm waiting on you to show up. I'm being patient. I'm being obedient. And I can't wait to see what it is that you're going to do. You know, another thing that Jesus did, Jesus invited believers to ask and to receive. I love what the word tells us, and I got to be really careful when we do Bible studies like this. But Jesus said that that so often you don't have because you don't ask. But then he also went on, he said, sometimes you don't have because you ask amiss. You're asking for the wrong things, or you're asking in the wrong way. I want you to understand that I'm not sitting here preaching prosperity theology by any stretch of the imagination. I don't believe that in the word the Lord says that if you just name it, you can claim it. I don't believe that God wants us all to have gigantic houses and gigantic cars and things to that nature and our bank accounts so big. I don't believe that's what God wants, and I don't believe that was what was meant by these particular scriptures. Because you see, the idea is that we have to ask ourselves, are we praying the right prayers? Are we praying the things that are going to honor and glorify God? You know, when you're sitting there asking God to make your bank account some 6 or 7 figure bank account, you have to also ask yourself this, is that going to be to the honor and to the glory of God? You know, well, if God decided to answer that prayer for you and do that, would you be a good steward of what is his? Because it's not yours, it's his anyway. You know what, I believe with all my heart that the Lord provides those things for people who are going to be instruments in His hand. That He's going to, that He can say, "Hey, look, I'm going to bless you with not only financial peace, but I'm going to bless you with an abundance that it might be used for My honor and glory." You know, too many times what we do is we wind up being selfish in those regards. But yet Jesus still invited believers to ask and to receive. Now, the early church prayed. And I love going back in Acts and looking at the foundation of the early church. But it says that when the early church prayed, thousands of people came to Christ. That's in Acts chapter 1. You can also read about it in Acts chapter 4. The church got together and they prayed, but they were praying with the right heart. They were praying because they wanted to see people come to know Jesus. It burdened them that there were people who were going to die and go to hell. And I think too many times that in our modern society, we've lost the burden for the lost soul. That's the reason why we're not more evangelical. That's the reason why we're not sharing our faith in the manner in which we should. Because you know what? I hate to say it this way, but it's the best way to say it. We really don't care like we used to. But yet the early church got together and they prayed, and they prayed with the right heart. They prayed for something that would honor and magnify the Savior. And thousands, not just a few, thousands of people came to Christ as personal Savior. I like the stories that I've read about in my past about George Mueller. Man, he was one of the biggest prayer warriors ever. And George Mueller prayed, and hundreds of orphans were fed and clothed. I can still remember reading stories about George Mueller where, you know, there were orphans and literally hundreds of orphans that didn't have food. And I mean, it was getting close to supper time. And George Mueller wasn't the type of guy that would sit back and worry about what was going to happen. But George Mueller was the type that took it to the Lord. And he knew that this was a need. He knew this was something that would honor and glorify the Lord. And George Mueller would pray. And he would say, "Father, look, we've got hundreds of children here who don't have food, that need to eat tonight. So, Lord, I'm counting on you." Remember when we were talking about praying big prayers, but also praying them with great expectation? George Mueller is a great guy to pattern your prayer life after, because that's exactly what he did. And he's like, "Lord, we got supper in a couple of hours and we've got zero food to be able to feed these children. So Lord, I'm asking you to feed them." And then when George would close his prayer, he went on about his day looking for what God was going to do. And every single time it happened, whether it was somebody showing up with a truckload of food or people bringing things by, there was always enough food to feed the children when they were in need. Can you pray like George Mueller? Is that what your prayers sound like when they go up in the presence of the Father? You know, one of the things that we have to think about is that Christians prove God's answered prayer every day in their own personal lives. Think about that for just a minute. How are you proving God's answers to the prayers that you're praying every day in your own personal life? I'm not talking about what's happening with somebody else's life. I'm not talking about what's happening in your family's life or even in the lives of the people in your church. What's going on in your life? How is God proving and answering those prayers through you with what's taking place and with what's going on? Think about that for just a moment. I mean, I sit back and I think about the praying guys like George Mueller, and sometimes it almost makes me a little ashamed of my own prayer life, because too often we get caught up in the fact that, "Well, Lord, I know you can. My question is, will you?" And yet when we do that, we don't have the great expectation that God wants us to in realizing that He wants to do something incredible by answering that prayer in our lives. You see, churches pray and demonstrate God's promises of answered prayers as being true each and every time as well. How many times have we gotten together and we've prayed as a church and we watch God do great things? I think one of the greatest things that happens when we talk about prayer requests and when we talk about praying for people and we intercede on people's behalf at Central Baptist Church is we love also to hear about how God has answered those prayers, that we might offer up thanks to Him for what He has done. So, man, we have not only a time of taking prayer requests, but we love to hear the praises of what God has done, that we might just honor and glorify Him. And yet, the church still stands as proof that God does answer prayers. So we've talked about at least two of our 3 points that are things that are not changing in regard to God and who He is, even though we live in an ever-changing society. But what is the third thing? We also mentioned an item number three, and that item number three was that the destructiveness of sin remains the same. That's one thing that doesn't change. Your iniquities, according to our scripture from today, your iniquities, meaning your sins, have separated. Yeah, in other words, they have pulled you apart from God. Your iniquities have separated between you and God. You see, sin in our lives keeps our prayers from being answered. Now, I said before that God knows and hears your prayers, but I'm also going to tell you that according to the Word of God, God can put you in time out. Often likened it to, and some of us grew up with this, at least at some phase in our life, or either your parents did this to you or you did this to your children, where maybe your son or daughter has done something and they keep wanting to try to explain or justify their bad or poor position for not doing something. And how many times have you said to them and you're like, stop. I don't want to hear anymore. I don't want to hear anything come out of your mouth. You need to think about what you're doing. Don't try to run that on me. And I know some of y'all are giggling right now because not only have you heard it, you've also used it with your children. You're like, no, I don't want to hear anything from you until your thought pattern is correct, until you are ready to not try to justify your poor position in what you're trying to say. Now, I want you to pay careful attention to this. Okay. Now I want you to write this verse down because there's a very important reason for it. I want you to write down Psalm 66, verse 18. Psalm 66, verse 18. Because this is what it says. And remember, this is not the gospel according to Roy. This is what the Word of God itself says. Psalm 66, 18 says this: if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Let me give it to you again. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's Psalm 66, verse 18. That's the reason I wanted you to write it down. Now, that's not to say that God is just turning a deaf ear, but it's kind of like that thing I was talking about just a moment ago, where you're trying to justify a bad position or something, but God's going, I don't want to hear it. And God will do that. Remember, think about this for just a minute. There were times in the New Testament, if you will remember when people brought the sacrifice to the altar. And remember what it was that the Lord said to him. The Lord said to him, they said, look, you have aught against your brother residing in your heart. Leave the sacrifice here at the altar. Go make it right with your brother and then come back to present that sacrifice. Okay? Think about that for just a moment. If I regard iniquity in my heart, if I refuse to be one to forgive my brother, if I refuse to do what the Lord is telling me to do, it says that the Lord will not hear me. I've often heard that joke that people have said when they've said, well, I don't want to hear old so-and-so pray because I'm sure that as they're praying, they're not getting one past the ceiling. Unfortunately, there can be a truth in that message according to Psalm 66, 18, that if you're regarding iniquity in your heart, the Lord is not going to hear you. Now, that's serious. Folks, we want the Lord to hear us. So I'm asking you today to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you today to search your heart to see if you are regarding iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is sin. If I regard iniquity or sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Folks, I want to be heard by the Lord. I know you do as well. Don't you want the Lord to hear you when you pray? Think about it for a minute. Now think about this. Elijah prayed with great power because of the way that he lived. You want a passage of that? James chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. So when Elijah prayed, he was able to do so with great power because his life reflected his Lord. His life reflected the power of the Word of God. In his life, he was a walking picture of the Almighty. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that by any means Elijah was perfect, because he was not. But the Lord honored him because of the life that he lived, and he heard his prayers because of the life that he lived. He heard the prayers that he prayed, and he prayed with great power because he lived out the word of God. If you want there to be power in your prayer, then you need to be living out the word of God in your everyday life. Can you say that you're doing that? For those of you who sit back today, maybe the thought in your mind is, well, you know, I don't feel like the Lord's listening to me at all. The question is, first of all, is he hearing your prayer? Is he not hearing your prayer because you are regarding iniquity in your heart? Maybe it's time for you to get some things right with the Lord, that that clear channel of communication between you and the Father would be opened back up again. I've said this 1,000 times in my ministry, and people have asked me before. I've said, you cannot lose your salvation. Once you've trusted Christ, you cannot lose that. But you can break fellowship with the Father. You can get put in time out. You can get put in the corner. The Lord can say, I don't want to hear anything from you until you get your act together, until you get your heart right. Then you come back to me and we can have a conversation. Are you in that position today? I pray that if you are, that you will run to the Father with confession of those sins, that you will run to the Father, that you might be restored to the fellowship with him. Not your salvation, but your fellowship with him. Okay, think about this. James chapter 1 verse 5 tells us that the progression of sin is lust, sin, and death, in that order. Lust, sin, death. We cannot escape the consequences of sin. I promise you, you might be fooling everybody in your sphere of influence. You might be fooling everybody in your circle, but let me make you a promise. The one person that you are not fooling is God Almighty. He already knows each and everything about you, okay? So when we think about these things, when we think about the three constants in an ever-changing world, we have to ask ourselves this question. You know, think about your salvation. Our need for salvation is something that remains the same. That's constant. You are born a sinner. You need a Savior. Without him, you will spend all of eternity in hell. With him, you will spend all of eternity in heaven. That has not changed since the beginning of time, and that will not change through the end of time. Our need for salvation remains the same. That's a constant. What is another constant? The love of God for sinners remains the same. That's another constant. He hasn't turned his back on sinners, and he is seeking each and every sinner that they may turn their heart and life over to him for salvation. Are you in that boat today? If you are, I pray that you will give your life to Jesus Christ as soon as possible, as in right now, because behold, today is the day of salvation. So the love of God for sinners remains the same. That's another constant. That's your second constant in this day and age of change. And what was the third? The way of salvation remains the same. There is no other way that you will get to see the Father except through Jesus the Son. There is no other way that you will see the kingdom of heaven other than through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There are many people, there are many preachers, there are many denominations that try to take the blood out of the salvation message. Friends, you cannot do that. Without the sacrificial cost that Jesus paid on Calvary's cross through his death and through his resurrection, that is the only thing that can conquer sin, death, and hell. And that has always been, and that will always be. The way of salvation never changes, and that is through Jesus Christ. I've said this in our congregation many, many times. I will say it on the air many, many times, and I will continue to say it. Jesus is not a good way to heaven. He is the only way to heaven. If you are seeking salvation in anything other than Jesus Christ, it's futile, plain and simple. You're fighting a losing battle. Give your life to Jesus today. How do you do that? You can simply close your eyes, bow your head in prayer, and say, Lord Jesus, today I know that I am a sinner. I am asking you to forgive my sin. Come into my life. Save my soul. And help me, Father, to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, I promise you that if you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life through that simple little prayer, he did. Now, that's not the end of it. It's not about checking off boxes and saying, I did the thing. It's about having that personal relationship with him. That's what he wants from you. He wants you to grow in grace. He wants you to grow in his word. And you can do that. Find you a good Bible-believing church. Find you a good discipleship group where you can get together and you can study the Word of God and that you can learn from each other. Listen, with salvation, now you have something incredible and something that you didn't have before. You know what that is? The Holy Spirit. When you trusted Christ, you got the Holy Spirit. He is your teacher. He is your guide. Maybe you've said, well, I tried to read the Bible. I couldn't understand it before. Well, if you trusted Jesus, now that you've got the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden this Word will come to life for you. Will you get in it? Will you study it? Will you walk with him? That you might be like Elijah, that you might have a lifestyle that reflects the Master, and that you might be pleasing in the sight of God, that your prayers might be answered. I hope and trust and pray that that's exactly what it is in your life. And that's what I'm going to pray for you here in just a moment. But for right now, I want to let you know what we're looking at. This week, we're going to stay in the book of Isaiah chapter 59, okay? So I want you to kind of go back through there, refresh yourself in the book of Isaiah chapter 59. And next week, we are going to discuss what makes God wonder. Not wander around, but what makes him wonder. What makes him say, And that's going to come from the passage of Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16. So be brushed up on that. Remember, what makes God wonder? Isaiah chapter 59, verse 16 is where we'll be next week. Let me pray with you as we close our Bible study for today. Now, Father, as we come to you today, I thank you for the fact that there are truly some constants in this ever-changing world in which we live. Lord, I'm thankful that no matter what may change in our midst, you are always a constant present. Lord, you want to hear our prayers. You want to answer our prayers. You want to save lost souls. So, Father, right now I pray that we might truly be walking in your will and in your way. Lord, may we strive to be like Elijah, that we walk with you and we live our lives in such a fashion that it's a testimony to other people. And Lord, that you hear what we have to say when we come to you in prayer. Lord, help us to become those prayer warriors. Help us to pray great prayers with great expectations to follow them. Not because of who we are, not so that we might be at any gain, but Father, that you might be lifted up, that you might be raised up high, that you might draw all men unto you. So Lord, we just ask this in the precious name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey folks, listen. Thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church today. We pray that God is going to bless you in an incredible way for it. As I always do, I like to invite you, if you don't have a church home, please join us at Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Our service times are on Sundays. We start at 10:45 a.m. We do have discipleship opportunities throughout the week for you as well. So please come on by and check us out and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth with us and grow in his grace. Be sure to introduce yourself if you show up. I'm Pastor Roy, and of course, I won't be hard to find. Anybody can point you in my direction. I pray that you have a great and a fantastic week, and I also pray that I get a chance to see you this coming Sunday, and may God bless you as you go through this week.